This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Look, it's a hot topic. Jordan versus LeBron. We'll see if we can squeeze it in. I know people on social media are tweeting both of us at @NotTheWillHill, at Dustin Sweetelson, trying to get in on the debate. We'll give you our thoughts before the show's over if we have time. But look, there's a lot going on. Like, there's a crazy golf tournament going on. By the way, it's Live Bet Sunday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The Rocket Classic coming down to the wire. We've got a 3-man playoff. Tell me if you've ever heard of these people without Googling them. Max, this sounds like a made-up name in Madden. Like, this is the name of the guy who coaches your Madden franchise after they fire you. Max Gracerman, Chris Kirk, which I think Christian Kirk.
No Kirk.
And then Aldrich Potgieter. Is Aldrich Potgieter, is he one of the villains in the Harry Potter movies?
No, what was it? Mike Aldrich used to be a good left-handed hitter. Is that any relation? No, I mean, I know the last two out of the three names, but yeah, not exactly, Scheffler and Tiger and, Rory, to say the least.
Yeah. Look, as someone who likes to bet on long shots, you'd think that I would enjoy these events and take some chances on guys that we don't hear of, because it feels like the field's a little bit more even, and sometimes it's mispriced, the top and the bottom of guys can make a run, be in contention after a day or two, and then you can make adjustments with your tickets and lock in something there. So we'll keep you updated as these three are in a playoff at the Rocket Classic. Pretty lazy, by the way. It used to be the Rocket Mortgage Classic, and they just,
yeah, I know,
it's not the sponsor anymore, so they just call it the Rocket Classic now. Like, Roger Clemens sponsors the event. Like, what do we couldn't come up with a better name. We just dropped part of the sponsor. Feels like they're still getting some sponsorship with it still being called the Rocket Classic. So we'll update you there as that plays out. We did get some runs with Texas and Seattle, Will, as we are going, we're in the bottom of the 12th, and Seattle's now up 6-3. Also, let's get you the pre-flop odds on those guys now as I give you their current odds at the Rocket Classic. Thanks to Rick, our producer, for sending these over. Max Gracerman is +160 in the market now. He was 35-1. Chris Kirk is +180. He was 80-1. And Aldrich Potgieter is +190. He was 110-1. You know what, Will? I am now focusing on non-major golf events when Scheffler and all the big guns are out, because those are massive numbers for these three to be duking it out right now.
Yes. And to go back to, you mentioned Texas and Seattle, 6-3 game. It's actually a 6-4 game now, two outs in the 12th. So it looks like, barring a miraculous comeback, Texas is going to win. I think this was 1-1 heading into extra innings. So that goes to show you, pop up here, the game's going to be over. Some horrible, horrible beats. If you just go look at the play-by-play, the scoring, how that went over the 8.5. Oh my goodness! If you bet the over 8.5, if you bet the under 8.5, maybe take a day off, go for a walk, watch a movie, do something else. That's a tough one. As someone who just sat here and lost Rockies under 9.5 wins in painful fashion, I commiserate with you. But that's a tough one.
Yeah, I don't always do it, but if there's a question sometimes about later in the game, I do try to look for first five unders, but if it's under 3.5, sometimes it's hard to do that, right? Like, there's so many times where people will just go, no, you just do the first five. Well, sometimes that number's so low, one bad inning can run you out of a bet. So I understand wanting to go full game unders on something like tonight, Twins and Tigers, Sunday Night Baseball. We'll preview it here in a little bit, like, more in depth, but the total 7.5. That's one where I'd go full game under 7.5 versus the first five, because it's so short for the first five. Oh, we got a blooper in the Sun, lost by the Angels.
That, huh?
And now we're going to have a tie game. Washington with two outs ties it up at threes. By the way, we did cash on Mitchell Parker over 5.5 hits allowed. So that did come home.
There you go.
Last inning. And we also hit Taylor Ward over 1.5 total bases. He's got like 4 today. So that is, he has 3 doubles. I take that back. He has more than 4 total bases. He has 3 doubles today. Jeez.
Well, they call this a hit. This pop, so it's a pop up to shortstop. We'll set the scene here. Two out,
it's
nobody
a hit.
On.
It he lost it
they
in the
can't
Sun.
Call that a
he
hit.
Lost
That's
it in the Sun.
So bad. That's
he lost
so
it in the
bad.
Sun. It didn't touch his glove. I think it's going to be a hit, dude. I think it's going to be.
Oh, so they didn't rule yet? I can't call that a hit. I mean, come on, you're right there. They give him a double. That's a double. Oh, man. I would go in. If I was the pitcher, I would go in and ask to speak to the manager. Where is the scorekeeper? Where does he live? I will go to his house and I will have a discussion in his living room about this. Are you going to give me a double on that as a pop-up to the shortstop? Two out, nobody on, 3-2 game, a walk, and then a pop-up to the shortstop. It gets dropped. The guy botches it, loses it in the sun. And Abrams gets credit with a double. That's offensive.
Here's the crazy part. It's like, look, Abrams, good player. But like, let's say you're trying to look at his numbers like for another year when he's due for a contract. Go, look, he had this many doubles this year. What if two or three of those are like that variety where an infielder's underneath it, loses it in the sun, and it falls? But on the scorebook, it's a double. But in reality, the context, like in high school, I hit a double on a half swing the other way against a kid who threw way too hard. He completely, like, I was lost. And we used metal bats. And the right fielder ran in on the ball because he didn't expect anyone to hit the ball off this pitcher. And the kid threw so hard, it just flew off my bat. It counts as a double on my stats, but the reality is I had no business being on base. But in my mind, the glory days remains a double.
Yeah, how about, I mean, just terrible from a pitcher's perspective. And that's a tough one. So 2-1 Arizona over Miami, and now 3-3 Angels.
Yeah.
And Nats, you have these live numbers in front of you. Anything you would play here? You didn't play that under, right? You got off of that one.
I'm on over on Marlins D-backs, and we've had a couple runners on, which has been really disheartening with opportunities to score more runs, and neither team's been able to punch through. I'm surprised at that score. Feels like Arizona plays some weird games. In-game totals 5.5. While I'm already losing an over on over 9, I do think we could be in potential of going over that in-game of 5.5, right? 3 more runs through the last couple of innings here. I'd lean over 5.5 at -101. Would you do anything, Marlins D-backs?
The only thing that would scare me there, home team is leading, so that probably chops off 3 outs if the score holds.
Yeah.
You know, with only a few innings left, that does matter, so that is factored into the account somewhat. So I don't know, 5.5, right around even money. I don't know, would you take a chance on Marlins +234? Is that enough here, only down a run with how well they've been hitting, how well they've been swinging the bats, just in general, the Diamondbacks bullpen?
Yeah.
Now that I think about that, that would probably be the bet, getting over 2-1 on the Marlins just because this D-back bullpen has been rough.
Yeah, they're on a 6-game win streak for a reason, right? They've been hitting the ball well. Rodriguez is out of the game, so Ryan Thompson was just in right now. So you're looking at the bullpen for Arizona, which isn't as strong as you'd like it to be. So yeah, I could take a flyer at +234. That does feel like a little heavy for a one run game, +234 at this junction.
Yeah, it does. I would agree, especially with how shaky the pen has been here for Arizona.
I'm trying to find a team total.
3-3 in the other. Go ahead.
I'm trying to find a team total in that game. Arizona over 2.5 +260. Not Arizona. I'm sorry.
That's not bad. You get the seventh and the eighth at least. And if the Marlins score, you might get the ninth. You might get a run. You might get the ghost runner, an extra inning. Yeah. That's not bad.
Marlins over 1.5 -148.
The 3 at bats. I think that's properly priced.
I don't want to lay a number, right? I want to chase the plus prices here, because if I'm right and the adjustments that come in the market, as Thompson's in now for Arizona on the hill, second inning of work. He's going to face the number 9 hitter and then 1-2-3 in the seventh. So that's where we stand there. And then did we go final with Seattle and Texas?
Yeah, 6-4 final.
All right. So we can look back on some of the things that occurred earlier today, Will, because you mentioned me avoiding this, but we should just get out in front of this. And that is, the New York Mets just got swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I want to take you through the scores of these games because I think the context does matter. The Mets lost 9-1. They lost 9-2. And today they lost 12-1. Based on my math, not that Chicago math that I had to learn for 1 year in elementary school, that is being outscored by the Pittsburgh Pirates 30-4. I don't know what's worse, that the Pirates held you to 4 runs over 3 games when you didn't face Paul Skeens, or that they scored 30 runs in 3 games against the Mets. Look, things are not going well right now for New York, Will. Phillies came into today -130 favorites to win that division. Looking at the market right now over at DraftKings, they remain -130. The Mets +110. The Braves 22-1. I think the Phillies at -130 is a value play. The Phillies are only going to play better. I think we've seen the best of the Mets. They need to make some adjustments. They're dealing with injuries to that rotation. No Senga, no Canning, no McGill. Manaea supposedly returning, but you're relying on those arms to stay healthy. And if we're going to be fair about the lineup, you've got a Jeff McNeil playing center field right now, right? You're relying on young guys in Acuna and Beatty and Vientos who are okay, but they're not doing anything special. I think the Mets are going to start fading here, and the Phillies are going to end up winning this division in a landslide.
I mean, to say they're going to start fading, I mean, they've been fading here for 3 weeks. So I've been under the belief this is going to come down to the wire. The Mets will be fine. It's a lull. I mean, look, the Yankees lost 23 out of 33 at one point last year. They were fine. They were in the World Series. I generally think the Mets are going to be okay, but how could I argue with fading them and taking the Phillies to win the division? I don't know what adjustment you can make. It's too early probably to start making trades. They need a lot of things. I would think you got to give some thought process here to calling up some of these guys in the minors, whether it's Sproat, whether it's Tong, just getting some life, getting some live arms in that rotation. Because these, you know, the Blackburns of the world are just not cutting it.
Yeah, no, you could ride the wave. Sometimes the youth injects something into the roster, a little bit of fun, a little bit of life. I totally agree. Hey, ProfitX is offering the best odds all baseball season long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S., and you'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sports books. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSIN and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month over at ProfitX. A lot happening when it comes to the NBA right now. More moves being made, including one between the Jazz and the Hornets, but more importantly, the Eastern Conference. We anticipate with free agency tomorrow. What numbers are values now that may be off the board tomorrow? We'll discuss next on Live Bet Sunday. Cruising on here on Live Bet Sunday. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back into the show. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, and of course the VSiN Watch app. All the different ways you can consume all of our shows here. And of course, after every single program is over, head to wherever you download your podcast. You can download every single show here on VSiN. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. And we've got a fun Sunday night baseball game coming up. You know, sometimes we get caught up. It's the Dodgers, it's the Yankees, it's the Mets, it's the Red Sox. Let's give the best team in baseball an opportunity to showcase what they are, and that would be the Detroit Tigers tonight. And to help us break that down, we're going to welcome in Johnny Kane, FanDuel Sports Detroit, as he's been covering the first-place Detroit Tigers, who have proven last year was not a fluke. Johnny joins us now via the Progressive Guest Line. Let's lay out this season, and we'll get into the actual matchup with the Twins and Chris Paddock. But this team has been awesome. I think you have some very underrated bats you're covering. But if we're going to have a discussion about the Detroit Tigers, the guy who's on the mound tonight to be highlighted on a national primetime game in Sunday Night Baseball, Tarik Skubal. What is it like to watch him do what he's doing over the course of a couple seasons now, really pitch as the most dominant guy in the game? What's he like day-to-day, Johnny?
Yeah, look, I think what's interesting is when you get an opportunity to cover generational talent, it's special, especially when the individual is relatable. And Tarik Skubal is a fantastic human being. Obviously wasn't, I'm not going to say he wasn't highly regarded coming out of Seattle University, but he wasn't, expected to be in contention to be a back-to-back, you know, Cy Young Award winner. But the way he goes about his business, obviously his stuff, his makeup, everything about him is ace material. He's coming off his 50th career win. And it's like when you watch some of the greats for the Tigers in years past, like the Verlanders, the Scherzers, where you know that every fifth day you've got the best opportunity to go out and win because he's going to do his job. He's going to eat innings. And his stuff is just better than anybody else. Like what's crazy to consider is, you know, you're covering the guy who right now, and going back to last year, is the best pitcher on the planet. And that's a ton of pressure. It's a ton of, there's a lot of hope riding on his shoulders. And the fact that he's able to continue to go out and continue to dominate with fastball, changeup, and the rest of his pitch mix on a nightly basis against really good lineups. Like, you know, it's not like, you know, more often than not, when he goes out there, it's high strikeout numbers. He's got swing and miss stuff. and he's going to pitch into the seventh inning. We saw a complete game from him earlier this year, did it in Maddux fashion. So it's just special, man. It's just you enjoy it every minute that you get an opportunity to see somebody of that caliber go out and pitch. And yeah, it's just a dream, man. And he just every night he goes out and does it again.
I completely agree. He's the best pitcher on the planet and the best pitcher by some margin. That being said, I know there was some concern about his velocity a couple starts ago. I think it was the Pirates game. There was a rain delay, so maybe that had a factor. And then the other night against the A's, he gives up a couple early homers. They touched him up. He gave up four runs in the first couple innings. He settled down. Any concern about his velocity, or is this just, long season, these guys, they get dead arm once in a while. He's still throwing 97-8, and he's fine overall.
Yeah, I think we, as fans, we all get wrapped up in velo, and everybody likes power numbers, and he can reach back and, obviously he touched the gun in triple digits earlier this year in his last pitch of the game in the complete game shutout. So he can reach back and throw 98 if he needs to every time, but where do you execute your pitches? And he paints. So his stuff, even at 93, 94, if that's what he takes off his fastball in order to locate, it's right. And so I don't think there's any real concern. The issue he had in a couple of starts, obviously we had the delay going into the Pirates game. He had a delay in his last start as well. So just because of the weather coming in. So what I always find exceptional is when the conditions are less than ideal, can you fight your way through it? And so I think that's what we saw in his two most recent starts was, okay, maybe the weather conditions aren't what they should be or what they ought to be. And maybe it's a delay, so your pregame routine gets mixed up just a little bit. Can you go figure it out from inning one to two and then two to three and then cruise into shutdown mode as opposed to from the first pitch on? So the one thing we've seen, I think, from Skubal is even if he runs into a little bit of early issue, he'll figure his way out and then pitch deep into the game, which he's done. And again, the strikeout to walk numbers for Skubal, it's like, it's historical pace stuff. And so, it's a layup almost every night that he's going to get six punch outs. Four times this year he's gone double digit, season high being 13. But it's almost 10 to 1, strikeout to walk ratio. And, you're talking about stuff like numbers we haven't seen since maybe you go back to like Phil Hughes with the Twins, 10, 11 years ago. And then you go back to somebody like a Cliff Lee, like historically great strikeout to walk numbers. So, he did what there was a stretch there. I think he went like seven or eight starts where, he didn't walk anybody. And then he's walked a couple guys in each of his last two, but then figures it out. Those typically come early. So he commands the zone. He's going to pound the zone. And I think against Minnesota, I know they're farther back in the standings, 11 and a half back, whatever it is now, but, it's a good lineup. They've got some guys that are dangerous, obviously with Buxton and company, but, I would expect the strikeout numbers to be there again tonight.
Johnny Cain's with us, Progressive Guest Line. He via FanDuel Sports Detroit, covering the Detroit Tigers Sunday Night Baseball. Detroit, huge favorites. -$3 at home against Minnesota, +242 the other way with the Twinkies and Chris Paddock. Total set at 7.5. I'm going to throw a bunch of potential options for plays at you, Johnny. You tell me which one jumps out to you. We can go with the total. We can go maybe under there. You can't really back the Tigers unless you want to lay 1.5 -136. But Skubal's props: strikeout set at 7.5 over under, 18.5 total outs, 4.5 hits, or 1.5 earned runs, where the under's at -140. Anything I said jump out to you as a good option?
I would go, personally, I'd go north of 7.5 for the strikeouts and then also the 18.5 outs. I do think they'll let him go. He'll pitch as deep as he needs to. I mean, obviously the Tigers bullpen may not be what it was a season ago. But I think if his numbers are where they need to be, he can pitch into the seventh and into the eighth tonight. So I think six innings would be a baseline. And I think the seven strikeouts would be a little flirty, but I would say north to 7.5. I like both of those.
Trade deadline not that far away. What do you think is on the shopping list? Not that many sellers now with all of these teams in contention. You don't know, like the Rangers, DeGrom, is he going to be in the mix? Will they be sellers? But what's on your mind in terms of what they're going to be looking here for in the next month or so with the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think, again, when you look at things as a whole and you say, okay, when you win, 51 through the first 81, and you say, okay, we've got a, you know, big enough cushion, you know, a double digit lead over, you know, over Cleveland in the division. I don't see them coming back to the Pack, but you say, is that good enough? Are we just going to coast? And I'm not saying rest on laurels, but is it, are you, as stated, good enough to go as deep as you want to go? And I think in baseball, as much as in any sport, it's like, where is the window and how far is the window open? I don't see them making anything reckless where you would mortgage the future, you know, by giving away a ton of younger prospects to do so. I think you take calls on everybody. I think they probably needed to add another arm into the starting rotation. Maybe another right-handed bat would maybe be the second biggest ask. But if pitching, if you were able to add a starter, would you like to add another in the bullpen? Perhaps. And then if you wanted to go out and get a stick, probably you could go out and look and see what would be available as far as a bat's concerned. I just don't necessarily know that you would want to mortgage the future wholly on making just a big swing at this year's trade deadline. But you see what's available, see what might be out there, take every call. But they've been able to piecemeal it a little bit together because of the injuries to the starting rotation with, you know, Reese Olson should be back soon. Jackson Jobe's lost for the year, but Casey Mize has really taken a step forward. He was your number five starter, but probably has pitched second most consistent behind Tarek Skubal. So you know what you've got in him. Sawyer Gibson Long has just re-entered the rotation. So they've got some guys. Dietrich Enns is a guy that they just plugged in, you know, after 4 years away from big league competition. Is he going to be the answer? You don't know. But he pitched five innings of one-hit baseball in his Tigers debut. So you might have some things in the system where you say, well, we might have a little something right here that we don't have to go out and make a huge splash at the deadline. But I do think that they will be buyers at the deadline.
That was great stuff, Johnny. Appreciate you doing it. We'll watch you on FanDuel Sports Detroit. He's Johnny Kane. Give him a follow on X at Johnny_Kane, K-A-N-E. That was awesome stuff. And hopefully we're talking about the Tigers going to the World Series this year, because it feels like the vibes are really, really good there. Thanks, man. We'll do it again down the road.
Thanks, Johnny.
Okay, fellas. Appreciate it. Anytime.
Dustin Sweetelson, Will Hill with you here on Live Bet Sunday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The only question with the Tigers, Will, is can they add impact pieces? Because 7-1, it's right on the edge of where I want to bet when it comes to them on the World Series. Anything shorter, I wouldn't touch. 7-1's right there. Are there other baseball bets at the halfway point that we should be thinking about placing? Will and I break that down when we return on Live Bet Sunday.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Live at Sunday, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. That's Will Hill at Not The Will Hill on X. I'm Dustin Sweetelson at Dustin Sweetelson. And we've got you here for 30 more minutes. Then our guy Scott Seidenberg will take you through all the afternoon action here on the Sports Betting Network. While we're away, we cashed our third bet on Angels and Nats. Joe Adell with a single, now over 1.5 total bases. We cashed Mitchell Parker over 5.5 hits. And Taylor Ward over 1.5 total bases. So after a rough one on Saturday, Will, nice to get a couple or a few victories there. Been an interesting day. Interesting day. I'm not trying to rub it in your face. I know you're still dealing with the Rockies winning. But it's been a fun show aside from that. And it'll be a lot more fun if we can find some plus prices and some teams with the Major League Baseball and the second half coming our way. So let's do that now as we're about to head to the All-Star break, but we're actually at the halfway point now. These series, somewhere in the first two games of these series this weekend, we reached the halfway point of baseball season. So Will and I thought it'd be a good time to go through division by division, league by league, each award, to see if there's something worth firing on here. So let's begin with the divisions, Will, where in the American League East, we briefly hinted at it yesterday, but Yankees minus 210 favorites feels a little bit heavy. They did get back off the schneid today with a win over the A's. Minus 210 on the Yankees, plus 320 with the Rays, plus 650 on the Blue Jays. Red Sox are 30-1. The Orioles are 250-1. I think we both like Tampa Bay and their prospects coming up. Are we discounting the Blue Jays too much at plus 650? That would be my only concern.
No, I think the Yankees are in good shape to win the division. A little bit of a lull recently. They had that horrible week where they couldn't hit against, what was it, the Red Sox and the Angels. They've come out of it somewhat here, scored a bunch of runs. I think the Yankees will be fine. I mean, I know people don't want to lay a 210 price, especially when you're not cashing that bet until, you know, end of September, October, so I get that. But I don't think the Yankees are going to lose this division, so I'm not investing on any of the underdogs. What do you think?
Yeah, I would go Tampa. I believe what Tampa's doing is sustainable. I really like the pitching. Again, that's barring everyone stays healthy and assuming Shane McClanahan comes back and does anything for this team, which is a huge what if. But at plus 320 with where they are in the race, I think they're going to be with the Yankees every single step of the way, where I think the numbers shorten up on New York. And then maybe I can get off the ticket. I don't know if they win, but I think that number shortens up. I don't think they finish the year plus 320. I think down the stretch, we could be seeing Yankees minus 160, 150, and then I could potentially get down on the other side. That's what I would think about that.
I'm with you. But so you're with me. You think the Yankees win. You would take a shot on Tampa.
Yeah, I just think the number's off. That's all. I think it's worth a flyer on that number to see if I'm right. However, there's nothing you could do with this next division, Will. Tigers are minus 1,400 to win the Central. Minnesota's 18-1. Guardians are 20-1. Royals are 60-1. And the White Sox are a casual 500-1 to win the AL Central. I mean, do we want to even mention anything here?
Give me the White Sox. 24 back. The run is coming now. I'm not a huge believer in Detroit overall. I don't think they are invincible by any stretch, as great as Scooble is. I still have to see it a little more. Maybe it's unfair, maybe it's not. These AL Central, I'll throw the NL Central teams too. They always seem to, you know, beat each other up. They pad the record, then they get to the playoffs and they do absolutely nothing. So I'm still skeptical of Detroit, but I do think they win this division.
Yeah, look, I can't back the Twins. Their three best hitters are always hurt, right? Barea, Buxton, and Lewis. Cleveland Guardians, I can't bet them at 20-1 because they're a team that's always relied on pitching, and I don't like their starting pitching that much this year, and they're not hitting at all. It's two guys in the lineup doing anything offensively, and that's it. The Royals at 60-1 are interesting, but I don't think they win the division. They're also 60-1, I think, to win the World Series, right? Like, I can't bet them to win the Central when the odds are the same for them to win the World Series. The Royals are going to tantalize me because I think they're going to pitch all season long. And at some point, I do think the bats wake up a little bit and they can make a playoff push, but they got to start doing it soon. And I think the schedule sets up for that. While we're at it, let me pitch them to you as one of my teams for most wins in July at 90-1. Listen to this schedule for Kansas City. 4 at Seattle, where both teams aren't that good offensively, and I think their arms, Kansas City, are just about...
Still tough games.
Yeah. Then they have 3 at Arizona, which will be tough, 3 versus Pittsburgh, 3 versus the Mets, who are scuffling, 3 at Miami, 3 at Chicago, the Cubs will be tough, but 3 versus Cleveland, also a light-hitting team, and 3 versus Atlanta, who can't get out of their own way. The Royals are 90-1. I don't think they can play worse than they've been over the last few months. Could I interest you in a little nibble of 90-1 most wins in the month of July for Kansas City?
No, but thank you for offering. Schedule's too tough for me. I know you're making the case. Atlanta's not playing. Those are still games where, I don't know, you're going to have to go. We see how these teams put up 19 wins in a month to get to the most wins in the month. I just don't know if they have the offense with that schedule. I mean, look, at 90-1, I'm not going to tell you not to bet it. You're throwing $20 on it. Something to root for. That pays a decent chunk. So I get it at 91. I'm just not betting it myself.
How about this one at 30-1? And it's a discussion we have not had today, but you and I have had on every single show we've done for a while. And that is about the Baltimore Orioles, who are 30-1 for most wins in the month of July. Listen to the schedule. Two versus the Rangers, 3 at the Braves, 3 versus the Mets, 3 versus Miami, 4 at Cleveland, 3 versus Colorado in Baltimore, and then the two really hard series would be 3 at Tampa and 3 versus Toronto. It's a pretty favorable schedule, but they're not. The problem is they don't pitch. But I thought 30-1 was an interesting number to me, so I thought I'd bring it to your attention. That's fine. I think I have a team at 22-1 we will get to in this next division, which is the NL Central. First, let's look at how we sit right now. The Cubs are your favorite at minus 190. Milwaukee at plus 320. St. Louis plus 550. The Reds at 17-1. The Pirates are 500-1. The Cardinals won again today. Matt Liberatore threw a shutout over 6 innings. I think maybe we have to start thinking about what the Cardinals could be. They may be more balanced than they're being given credit for. I really like the Brewers. I think the Brewers with Mizorowski in the rotation now, with potentially Brandon Woodruff returning in the second half, I would think about the Brewers at plus 320. What would you do in the NL Central right now, Will?
What are the Reds? The Reds are 17 to 1.
They were 14 to 1 yesterday.
I like the Reds. If any. I just don't know if the Cardinals have enough pitching. I like Liberatore, and he threw a good game today. I just don't know. Michaelis and some of these guys, Pallante.
Yeah. I know.
I'm not a big believer.
Well, since you like the Reds, what if I told you the Reds were 22 to 1 for the most wins in the month of July with a schedule of 3 with the Red Sox, who can't get out of their own way, 4 with Miami, 3 with Colorado in Cincinnati, 3 at the Mets, where the Mets are horrible, 3 at Washington, 1 in Atlanta. Now, they do have a few hard series, the Dodgers, the Rays, and the Phillies, but there's a lot of teams that are not playing good baseball right now, and Cincinnati's pitching well. The problem is they're not hitting, and that's something we didn't anticipate coming into the year. I think the Reds at 22 to 1, though, are my favorite bet for the most wins in the month of July.
That's the one I like the most that you've mentioned so far. And I don't want to just paint the Mets as all they get the games with the Mets. Those will be easy. Those are layups. Teams go through these waves where they play well, don't play well. The Mets are still probably going to win, 88, 90 games.
Sure.
So I don't want to look at the Mets like there's some layup, but I think of all the ones you mentioned, the Reds at 22 to 1 is the most interesting.
Yeah, that is the one. I mean, the Mets would be the other team that I would mention, by the way, at 25 to 1 for most wins in the month of July. So I'll speak out of both sides of my mouth because they're underachieving right now. But if they do turn it back on, they have a pretty favorable schedule. I think the Reds schedule is better.
I know they start with the Yanks, right? Because they play the Yanks 4th of July weekend this weekend coming up.
That's the problem. They have the Yankees. They have Milwaukee, right? Cincinnati, as I mentioned, they're at San Diego. They're at San Francisco. They've been a much better home team than away team, right? So that'd be the problem in backing the Mets in that spot. But 22 to 1 when it comes to the Reds feels like a deal. Also, did you know Circa has got a great deal for you as well, as I look for my read that I lost. But here it is, the $400 all-in package. This is one that I might take advantage of. So you go to Circa with the ultimate getaway of just $400. You'll get 2-night stay at Circa. You'll get $100 in dining credit, $100 in beverage credit, and your very own daybed over at Stadium Swim, where the party never stops. It's all for $400, resort fees and taxes included. This limited time offer is through September 4th, so don't miss out. Lock in your all-in summer package now at CircaLasVegas.com. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We've got more divisions to go through with baseball. We'll look at the awards market, where there's a couple of guys that jump out to us as well. And also have to touch on the NFL, just because 10 Sundays from now, Will, we'll be talking about kickoffs. We'll be talking about games. We'll be reacting to the action, and we'll know how teams fared in week one of the NFL season. And the NFL betting guide drops Tuesday. So if you're serious about winning football this season, get our NFL betting guide. It's packed with in-depth previews of all 32 teams, win total breakdowns, best bets from trusted VSiN experts, player props and betting projections, everything you need to bet smarter all season long. Kick off your season with confidence and get full access to every VSiN betting guide, daily best bets emails, and exclusive content through the Super Bowl, all for $175. All you got to do is go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Closing up shop with what to attack in the baseball futures market on the other side of Live Bet Sunday.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Keep your head on a swivel when the Arizona bullpen's out on the mound. Welcome back in. It's Live Bet Sunday, VSiN, the sports betting network. Dustin Sweetelson, Will Hill. We're closing up shop here. Been a wild afternoon in sports right now in Anaheim. Angels and Nats tied up at 4s in the 9th. Kyle Finnegan coming on for Washington right now. In-game total is 9.5 right now. Angels minus 199 on the money line, plus $1.50 the other day with Washington. But the story for us is we had the over on Marlins D-backs over 9. And all of a sudden, the floodgates have opened with that Arizona bullpen out there. The Marlins now lead in Arizona 6-2. They are, what, minus 10,000 on the money line. Arizona plus 1340 the other way. And your in-game total is now 9.5 in the 8th inning as the Marlins just plated 5 in the top of the 8th. The latest coming off the bat, I believe, was that Kyle Stowers in a pinch hit? Kyle Stowers, he's 1-for-2 today, 3 RBIs. And for a lefty, has really good numbers against southpaws. And it looks like a pitching change being made once again for Arizona. We need 2 more runs to cash that over. Will Hill, will we get there?
What'd you get, 9.5?
9.
Okay, so you're a run away from a push. Now you're going to get the bottom of the ninth, it looks like. And if you don't get the bottom of the ninth,
yeah, that's
win.
True.
I'm just frustrated because we had, what was it, plus 230 or something. We said the Diamondbacks bullpen is so bad. Probably Miami plus the money here. I didn't add to it. I did like Miami before the game, so I just left that alone. So a chance to steal one here, though. Feels pretty good.
Yeah, but we gotta start doing what we did in football. If we both agree, we have to call a timeout from the show and both bet it together because it's 2 days in a row where just about every live lean, we were both like, yeah, I like that, and then move on with the show or whatever's happening next. We need to hold each other accountable and win money because I want to say we're on like a 7-1 run with these live leans.
Yeah, it's more like a 0-0 run because we're not actually betting because we're doing the show. We just kind of suggest it and move on. So it's frustrating as we do go to the bottom of the 8th in Arizona. What was a 2-1 Arizona lead just moments ago. Now a 6-2 Miami lead. So that is going on there. And then Washington and Anaheim, a classic interleague rivalry, the Angels against the Nationals. The Angels do have a leadoff man on first here. Nobody out. Finnegan in trying to get this one to extras. So it feels like we've seen a lot of games go to extras today, yesterday. I don't ever look at that. You ever look at, will a game go to extra innings? Yes or no? I'm sure yes is a,
no.
What price you get there? 5-6-1, something like that, depending on the total. I don't look at those much. There's a lot of randomness to it, but it feels like those have done well here the past couple of
days. That is a market, though, like in other sports that I look at a lot, especially in game. I like when I see two teams, especially early on before the number moves a ton, where I'm like, oh, the underdog came to play. This has a chance at overtime. If it's like 8-1, 9-1, 10-1, 13-1, whatever it is, it's usually greater than 8-1. I'll think about an overtime bet. And if it's the second half and it's still around, 7-1, I'll consider that as well. I do it a lot in basketball, but football is the one where I love doing it, where it's like, hold on. You start doing the math of, well, if they get a field goal and there's this much time left and they get another field goal, you have to figure out the path and it takes a moment. But in football, it does feel like overtime, you can evaluate on the fly better than pretty much every other sport. But baseball, I never look at the extra innings market.
Yeah, why is that?
Because I don't want it most of the time because it's usually messing up one of my bets with the ghost runner and all of that because I'm usually on some sort of under. So that's probably it. But you're right. I mean, it's probably
a decent hedge to it, though. It's a decent hedge to it.
It's probably, again, like the other sports, though, a better in-game than it is a pre-flop, right?
Yeah.
So... All right. Well,
but if you have one, if you're in these positions where you have an under on something,
yes,
whether it's under on a prop, under on the game, man, I really don't want extras. That might not be a bad idea to look live. Again, I don't look at it much either. I know some books do offer it live, but that's not a bad way to hedge it. Where, oh no, I'm going to get burned by the ghost runners, the extras. Well, if you're getting 3-4-1 on extras, you know what? You can sometimes, again, depending on the bet, go to extras and your bets still stay under and you hit all of them. But it is a decent hedge.
Yep, he's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Want to introduce to you the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll then receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card, and First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN then completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Well, before last segment ended, we were looking at the divisions. Want to run through them real quick and look at the awards briefly before we go, because I think at the halfway point of the season, Will, it's worth evaluating where we're at with a lot of these numbers. We did the NL Central last. So the next one here in front of me, and we already did the NL East, would be the NL West, where you can't touch any of these teams. The Dodgers are still minus 2,000. It feels like a just price because they haven't even hit their stride yet. The Giants are 20-1, feels like they're going to fade. The Padres are 20-1. They have been fading, but maybe coming back. And Arizona's 55-1, and they're without Corbin Carroll right now. How about the Rockies? Can I interest you at 500-1? Will, I'll book your action.
Why would they put that at 500-1? Why wouldn't you just put it what as high as you can, like 5,000-1? Then maybe somebody, you know, has a few drinks and wants to bet something at 50,000-1 just as a joke, or just as like a, you know, a joke of a gift or something. Like, you might put it high enough where somebody bets it just for the hell of it. At 500-1, you're not going to write anything on it. And as you know, we don't use the word lock, you know, on this network for the most part, because that's just, nothing's a lock. That's a lock. They're not winning the division. So I don't understand why that's 500-1.
Yeah. I mean, it should it even be on the board. Is it, are they, will they be the earliest eliminated from contention for a division than anyone in the history of baseball?
I would think so. I mean, they're like, what, 30 games out of fourth place or something? It's crazy.
it's absurd. All right.
We do go to extras, by the way, in Anaheim.
When I looked at pennant odds, teams that can win the pennant, and if you think they can win the pennant, you could probably go World Series as well. I'm going to throw these at you. You tell me what you think. I think Philly at plus 475 to win the NL is still a value. Do you think that number's too short? Do you think it's just right?
Just right, just because you're not a lock to win the division, even though the Mets aren't playing well now. And you either have to win the division or you have to win the best two out of three, and then you have to win the division series, and then you have to win the NLCS. So you got three steps to complete right now. I get it. They're a contender. I don't know that that's great. I would want more. I'll just put it that way. I would want more.
How about this? The Tampa Bay Rays in the American League, plus 850 felt a little short to win the pennant. When I can get 22-1 on them to win the World Series, then hedge that ticket. Feel like I would go 22-1 on the World Series on Tampa Bay in that spot, just because it's a bit of a discrepancy, plus 850 versus 22-1.
Right.
You'd think they'd be 17-1 to win the World Series, but feels like there's more value than on 22-1 and the Rays.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. The American League, it's almost like the East of the NBA, where yeah, that's the spot you want to take a chance. If you have a hunch about a team for whatever reason, the Blue Jays, the Rays, the Mariners, the Rangers, whoever, that's a spot, that's a league where there's just not a great team. Tigers are good. Yankees are good. But nobody is unbeatable in that American League. That's, I think, a spot where a long shot could come out. So I like that Rays look.
Also, I think Milwaukee 16-1 to win the National League when they're going
to
potentially.
I'm not ready to talk about Milwaukee. We can skip them. We could go to the next team. Let me give you two long shots.
We'll do two long. You can tell me which long shot you like better. You'll probably hate both. Kansas City 60-1 to win the pennant. They have to put a lot together, but I feel like the potential is there. I can't quit them. Or another team we can't quit. Atlanta 35-1 to win the pennant.
I guess Atlanta just based on the talent, but again, I feel like the books are on you. They're just, every time I look at the Atlanta price to either make the playoffs or to make it whatever, it's just shorter than I'd want it to be. So I'd rather have Atlanta than Kansas City, but they, I don't know. Are you betting either one of these, both of these?
I'm considering Kansas City because I don't want, like, it's one of those where it's such a long shot. Just take a flyer, and if it adjusts, you keep betting with it. And then finally, we have Sunday Night Baseball tonight. We did hit it earlier in the show, but Twins at Tigers, Skubal versus Paddock, minus $3 on Detroit, plus 244 the other way with the Twins. I'm going to go Detroit team total over 4.5. Paddock has been getting roughed up over his last few starts, and I like this Tigers lineup. Riley Green and Kerry Carpenter are two underrated guys mashing right-handed pitching. I think the Tigers score a bunch of runs. I can't lay $3, and if I was going to bet the side, Will, I can only lean plus 244 with the Twins, but I'm not betting against Skubal.
I will go Twins under 0.5 hits in the first inning, get a little instant sweat, instant gratification, have Skubal maybe bounce back here. He has not been great the last couple starts. Twins under a half a hit in the first inning, so Twins to not get a hit in the first inning, minus $1.15. You can bet that on DraftKings. You go to the first inning tab.
And let me leave you with this one to think about. I understand the AL MVP market is shaping up the way it is, but if Tarek Skubal continues the historic pace, he's 110-1 for AL MVP, maybe something we can discuss at a future date. Hey, that wraps it up for us today. We appreciate you joining us. But don't go anywhere. Scott Seidenberg has Live Bet Saturday, Sunday coming up next here at Circa for the next 4 hours. Then we finish off the weekend strong with G-Unit, Greg Peterson, on cashing out after that. For Will, I'm Dustin. We'll see you next time.